I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Tonight, we are doing our official finale of the podcast. Now, that doesn't mean that we're actually going to go away. We do have quite a few things planned for you guys for the summer, but I did want to go ahead and finish out the year. To help me do that, I have the editor-in-chief over at Rock Chalk Talk, Mike Plank. Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Andy, I am doing pretty good. Sir, how are you this fine evening?
I'm doing pretty good. So obviously it's been a very, very eventful year. We started this year having just moved on from Shane Zinger and what's going on with David Beatty. That was the way that our year started. And we have now finished with Les Miles, the basketball team, some issues here and there that we weren't really kind of expecting, but getting some really good news recently. Really good years for a lot of the other. So of all of that that happened this year, from what you can remember, what do you think has been probably the biggest story for the athletic department as a whole?
So the first thing that comes to mind for me is the change at the top and at the leadership with Jeff Long coming in and Shane Zinger being a high school offensive line coach or whatever he became. The change at the top was definitely needed and I think welcomed by most fans, at least ones that, you know, kind of have an idea of what it takes to have a successful athletic program. I think it really benefits the entire athletic department if football is at least competitive, which it has not been for 10 years. And that's Jeff Long's job, basically, is going to be fix football and don't screw up anything else. Now, if he can turn baseball and softball and a couple other sports into, you know, competitive or winners as well, that's a bonus. But, I think football is the baby and we need to see it grow up. He's made a lot of changes in not just the program, but in the athletic department. The Williams Fund director and some of those type of people have since moved on since Jeff Long came to town. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that the athletic department needed a pretty much complete overhaul from the top, and I think we've got that now. And so I'm excited for the future of Kansas football, and I think that starts with Jeff Long.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Jeff Long probably has to be the story. And anytime you have a change in direction up at the top, it completely changes the outlook for everything in the entire program. So. I do think specifically, let's go ahead and turn our attention to some of the programs. Specifically, let's start with the football program, because like you said, that was what Jeff Long was brought in to fix. That is kind of the main point of having a guy like Jeff Long come in. So talking about what's happened in the football program, obviously David Beatty was given some time to try to see if he could do something that, if Jeff Long could give him some additional support, maybe they could get something turned around. And it obviously didn't happen very well, very quickly at all. They lost the opening game to an FCS school. And while they had a few good results here and there, they still had all kinds of problems, this last year. So what do you think is the biggest story specifically for the football team, prior to obviously the firing of David Beatty and then the hiring of Les Miles?
Well, that's a good question. I guess the first thing that comes to mind for me is breaking the now Division I, at least, NCAA record road losing streak
They accomplished that feat at Central Michigan in a actually a pretty dominating win, a 31-7, I believe, was that final. It could have been a lot worse. Central Michigan was not good that day. Kansas wasn't great either, honestly. But they were still, you know, 24 some odd points better than the Chippewas. A team that had beaten them by, what, 3 touchdowns in Lawrence the year before? So I think definitely breaking the road losing streak has to be up there. The defensive turnovers are a good story. I think KU finished 2nd in the NCAA in turnover margin and in turnovers forced, but I'm not 100% sure on that 2nd stat. And, you know, turnovers have some luck to do with them, but there's also, you know, with the right coaching and stuff like that, you can, to a certain extent, you can coach turnovers. So I think they did a good job there, obviously. And there was a lot of, would they win 2-3 games last year? There was a lot, the Nicholls State game was bad. Oh God, that was bad. The Rutgers game was really good. That was a big positive. I don't know very many Kansas fans at all that honestly thought that we were going to dominate Rutgers the way we did. Rutgers was coming into the season was expected to be an up and coming team, and under a third year head coach, they appeared to be improving, but that team just imploded last year, and Kansas just blasted them. And that was fun to see. So the highlights for football, you've got to go breaking that road losing streak finally and getting a big win against a Big Ten team at home. You know, even though you could say, well, it was just Rutgers, well, it was still just Kansas, and it was still just David Beatty. So I think those were definitely the highlights.
Yeah, I have to agree probably with all of those. I think the other highlight that you've missed at this point would be, you know, despite all the problems they had on the field, they seem to be doing fairly well with recruiting, at least being able to pull, you know, high-level guys in terms of, you know, guys like Kuku Williams, you know, other really, really talented guys at the very top of their recruiting classes. Now, they had a lot of problems trying to fill out recruiting classes with high school players, and that was, something that we mentioned quite a bit over here at Rock Chalk Talk and on the podcast here even. But, you know, when it came to finding a few good guys here and there that could headline a class and could push a class up the recruiting rankings to at least a respectable amount, you know, he was able to do that at least. And now a lot of that, I think, is credit to a guy like Tony Hall. And so, you know, we have the opportunity to continue that with him remaining on the staff. But, absolutely, you know, I do think you can't say that his tenure was a complete failure, because while there were still lots of problems and he didn't really necessarily improve the program too much, you know, he at least leave it completely bare when he left. There is a decent amount of talent on this roster and guys that a competent coach should be able to come in and actually build with. All right. So,
Mike, any
other big stories you want to talk about for football?
Yeah, actually, while you were talking there, I thought of a couple more things. And you kind of hit on one, but the emergence of Puka Williams was definitely a big story and a very positive story for Kansas. He really came on. I think he missed that first game, right, against Nicholls. But then he flashed some signs of the future in the second game at Central Michigan and just kind of took off from there. And a lot of people probably aren't going to want to hear this next stat, including myself even, but I think it should be noted that 4 of our last 5 games were actually pretty competitive. We beat TCU. It's kind of a fluky win, but it's still a win. We beat TCU at home, and then we got blasted by Iowa State, which is obviously unacceptable, but we had a chance to beat K-State on the road. Fumbled that away. We hung with Oklahoma. You know, Puka had 250 rushing yards, and they only lost to Oklahoma by 2 touchdowns. And then they hung with Texas at home in the season finale and only dropped that game by a touchdown. And it was close throughout. It was close until the end. So there's definitely some momentum there in the program, I think. Some closer losses than what we had even seen earlier in the year. And then Puka Williams was definitely a huge story.
All right, Mike. Well, I think that is going to end our football discussion for the day. I don't want to say the individual sport because we are trying to wrap this up without, you know, wrap up the season winning a huge amount of time. But main sport I want to talk with you about, we've been having, I'm going to go ahead, throw it to a quick break, come back after the break. I will be running through the rest of wrapping up the rest of the Mike, thank you again so much for joining us.
Andy, thanks for having me, and it's always a pleasure to talk football with you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike. Have a good night, and we will be right back to our podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And we're back. Once again, a huge thank you to Mike for joining us to talk football tonight in our season finale. As I had said, we were having some technical difficulties there, so I've gone ahead and jumped. I'm going to go ahead and talk about the rest of the programs and kind of wrap up the season for us here by myself. But the first one to talk about, and we're going to kind of go in alphabetical order, I think, just to make it a little bit easier, the baseball team, the Kansas baseball team, actually just wrapped up action just a couple weeks ago. But they had a semi-successful season, I think is the best way to describe it. They were 32-26 overall. They had a few big wins inside of the Big 12 season. However, they were not able to make it to the NCAA tournament, unfortunately, meaning that they lost an opportunity kind of really, I think, to showcase a lot of what they were doing. They did, however, have two of their players drafted in the top five rounds of the baseball draft just recently. Ryan Zephyrjan, and I apologize if I'm butchering his name. I unfortunately have a proud history of not being able to pronounce people's names very well. And then he was picked in the third round by the Boston Red Sox, and then Jack Skrosians was picked in the fifth round also by the Boston Red Sox. So as I tweeted out right after the picks happened, I'm a little conflicted about that, mainly because I personally don't like the Red Sox very much, but very, very happy for these guys to be able to get a spot with a major league team to be able to continue to try to make it to the big leagues. So big, big, big opportunity for them. That'll do it for baseball. So let's go ahead and jump now next to women's basketball. The Lady Jayhawks started off the year really, really well. They actually won most of their non-conference games. They got off on a huge hot streak, including a win at LSU that people thought meant, was really kind of showing us turning the corner. The only non-conference game that they lost was at Nebraska, which really isn't that, that's a very understandable loss. But then conference play started. This team went 2-16 in conference play. The only wins coming at Kansas State and then winning at home to Oklahoma. They entered the Big 12 tournament with absolutely no expectations, were able to upset Oklahoma State in the first round, but then fell to Iowa State, who was nationally ranked at the time. They lost that one in rather unimpressive fashion. In terms of other news for the women's basketball team, they've got a decent recruiting class coming in from all indications. There's a lot of questions about whether Coach Snyder is going to be able to get this team turned around. It came out in a story just a couple months ago that apparently Shane Singer, before he left, had extended Brandon Snyder's contract, and it was just something that was not publicized. So what many people thought was him coming into the last year of a contract, turns out he's here for at least another 2 years. It should be interesting to see what he can do. I don't think this is a situation where we are in a huge hurry to move on from Coach Snyder. I think Jeff Long, given all the indications that I've seen, is probably going to kind of ride this out and see what we can do in the next year or two, and then make a decision from there. So it wasn't what we wanted, but unfortunately, I do think that that's kind of where we're at. And hopefully next year we can get some good improvement to be able to move on and hopefully dig out of the hole that we're in for women's basketball. Both the men and women's golf teams had a decent year, not quite up to par, I think, for some of the recent years that we've had. But, you know, the Kansas women's golf team ended their season in the Big 12 championship. They placed seventh out of the nine squads that were there. And I think really the only notable finish would have been Yitzin Chow. And again, I apologize. I'm pretty sure that I completely butchered the name again. But she finished tied for eighth with a total score of 227 over the three rounds. So not a very bad finish overall. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough to allow the squad to move on to the regionals. The men's golf team, however, they were able to go ahead and move on to regionals. They actually finished in the Big 12. They finished 9th out of 10th, but based on their results prior in the season, they were invited to the Stanford, California regional, where they finished 10th out of 13. So they did not advance to the national tournament, unlike last year, where they won their regional and were able to advance. This year, they were not able to do that. So there weren't too many, or there weren't anyone notable in terms of who to call out for the men's golf. But overall, a little bit of a down year based off of previous results. But hopefully they get an opportunity to kind of move forward and bounce back next year and come on strong. Up next, the women's soccer team. They had an overall successful season. They were 12-6-3 in their regular season record, with some decent wins. They won at home against number 18 Pepperdine at the beginning of the year. They also won at home against number 25 Butler. They lost at Texas A&M. That was actually the first loss that they had. They had two previous ties after a couple overtimes. But at number 4, Texas A&M was the first loss they had on the season. And then they actually went on a pretty good tear in Big 12 play. They ended up the season 5-4 in conference, but did enough to be able to get, I believe they were the 4th or 5th seed. It might have been the 5th seed, I think. Facing Texas in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 championship, that was an epic game that was tied after two overtimes, and Texas was able to advance on penalty kicks 3-1. They did qualify for the NCAA tournament this year, again being sent out to North Carolina, the same regional that they got sent out to 2 years ago. They won the first game against St. Louis 2-1 in double overtime, but unfortunately fell to North Carolina 4-1 in that final game of the season. So they've had a few spring exhibition games, which is pretty standard for the women's soccer team, but nothing of note to really talk about. But overall, they had a really, really good year. Was really, really happy to see what they were able to do. Some other additional news, some former KU players are now playing on national teams. Estelle Johnson, that's what I was trying to remember the first name. She was selected to play for the Cameroonian national team in the Women's World Cup. So it's always great to see former Jayhawks, perform well and be recognized kind of on the national stage. So that's it for the soccer program. Let's go ahead and move on. Next up is the softball team. Women's softball did not do very well this year, unfortunately. Overall, they were 15-36 for a not so great record. They did not get their first win. They lost the first five games of the season, some of them in blowout fashion, unfortunately. They got a win against UMass down in Kissimmee, Florida, in their second tournament of the year, and another win against Providence in that one. But they lost twice to Missouri in those first 10 games, unfortunately. you know, and then didn't really pick up a notable win the rest of the non-conference season. You know, they won only one game in their own invitational, which is never a good sign. And then the Rock Chalk Challenge, they won two games, both of them against Nebraska, which I think gave us a little bit of hope and optimism. But they were, you know, and they went on a little bit of a hot streak after that. They won a game against Omaha. They lost a nail-biter, high-scoring game against Wichita State right after that. But then swept a series against Green Bay, won a series against Baylor, you know, and things were going really, really well. Then they ran into the ranked Oklahoma State Cowgirls, got swept there, got swept by Oklahoma after that, lost a series to Texas Tech, got swept by Texas, got swept by Iowa State, and finally went into the Big 12 tournament in pool play. They were the 8th seed in the Big 12 tournament in pool play. They lost 7-3 to Texas Tech, the 4 seed. And then, unfortunately, the game that they had against Oklahoma, and I'm sorry, I don't believe they were the 4th seed. I believe that they were actually the 5th seed. There's not a lot of teams in the softball ball division here. And so, yeah. Anyway, they ended up in a pool. I think there's actually only 6 teams. And so they ended up in a pool with Oklahoma and Texas Tech. And unfortunately, the game against Oklahoma got rained out, actually ended the entire tournament. There was not a finish to the tournament this year because of the rain. Oklahoma was the number one team in the nation, and so they didn't really stand much of a chance at that point. I believe they were already down 5-0 when the game got called in the second inning, and they were not able to go ahead and finish it. But it was a bit of a disappointing end to the season for them. You know, again, we're kind of hoping that things can go ahead and get turned around. In terms of the news here, you know, they did have a couple people named to the Big 12 All-Freshman team. So they had some individual performers that were pretty good this year. Unfortunately, though, they just weren't able to put it all together as a team. Sidney Ramsey and Morgan Wynn were both named to the 2019 Big 12 All-Freshman team. And Ramsey was a unanimous selection. So it was a decent year for those two. Hopefully they can be a building block for this team going forward, and we can see some really good results moving forward. So it's about time for us to go ahead and throw it to another quick break. So I'm going to go ahead and do that, and then we will be back to wrap up the last few programs. We will be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. And we're back. Okay, so we only have a few programs left to talk about. There's the tennis team, and we'll actually go ahead and jump into them right now. They had a phenomenal year this year. They ended up 3rd in the Big 12. They were 21-5 overall. You know, they lost, including one of those losses was actually, they lost twice in conference to Oklahoma State and to Texas. But one of their non-conference losses was also to Oklahoma State in the ITA kickoff weekend. That counts as a non-conference loss, even though it was to a conference foe. So the only losses they had this year, they lost at Oklahoma State, because that's where the kickoff weekend was. They lost at Washington and at at Washington. They lost that one 4-3. They lost again at Oklahoma State to open up conference play, and that was a pretty big loss. They barely lost one to Texas 4-3 as well. But other than that, I mean, they won quite a few games. They were very fortunate to have. It was a little weird this year. We talked about this in the episode that I did the interview with Coach Todd Chapman. And, you know, they had 4 road matches to start conference play and then had 5 at home to end conference play. They won all 5 of those. They were able to host the Big 12 championship this year because it was just their year. It was previously scheduled. But they beat TCU. Then they got revenge on Oklahoma State 4-2. And then they got revenge on Texas 4-2 to go ahead and win the Big 12 championship this year. Went off to the NCAA tournament and won the first 2 rounds. They actually hosted the first 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament. They beat Denver in the first round, beat Florida in the second round. They traveled out to Stanford for the Super Regional and lost a heartbreaker 4-3 against Stanford, who was I believe they were ranked number 3 or they were the 3rd seeded in the nation. So then we had a a couple entries into the NCAA individual and doubles championships. You know, that actually went fairly well for us. Both of them went into the Sweet 16. We have, and I'm going to butcher names horribly here, but Nina, because I have no way to, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. And then Janet Coach, they were the doubles pair that were in the tournament this year. They made it to the round of 16. And then Anastasia, and again, I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name because I haven't gotten it right yet a single time this year. She advanced to the round of 16 in the singles play. And unfortunately, they were not able to move on past those matches. However, it was a very successful year for the Jayhawks in all, you know, Big 12 championship, another berth in the NCAA tournament, getting to host. They have a lot to build on. They have a brand new class coming in, having lost three seniors. But I fully expect the staff there to be able to get them moving and to be able to kind of pick up where they left off and keep going. So, and then final women's program to talk about. Apologies to the other programs that we haven't covered, such as rowing and track and field and cross country. You know, unfortunately, I just and then swimming and diving as well. I just unfortunately don't know enough about that, and they're a very individualized sport. For me to be able to really sum up what their year has been. Hopefully at some point we can get them some sort of representative or someone that can talk about them on the podcast so we can bring you those additional programs. But to wrap up what we have here, the volleyball team, it's the last one we're going to talk about before I jump over to men's basketball to wrap it all up. You know, they had an up and down year. Originally it looked like they were going to have a decent – a decent start, be able to really kind of pull off and build off of the success that they had last year. But unfortunately, the loss of those seniors were just a little bit too much. They started the year out splitting two games against Arkansas. Interestingly enough, the road team won in both of those games. But then they went down to Kentucky for the Bluegrass Battle, highly anticipated national ranking matchup. Against Kentucky that they had. They lost that one, but they won the first two games there. Kind of the first real sign of trouble came when they dropped two of the three games at the Kansas Invitational. And then from there, you know, they went on a bit of a hot streak. They actually started out conference play. They won 6-0. The first loss they had, though, kind of snowballed on them. They lost at Kansas State in a game that they were not expected to lose at all. They lost that one, then they lost at home against Iowa State, and then lost at Baylor. And from there, you know, it was kind of up and down the rest of the year. They won two quick matches against West Virginia and then Texas Tech, but then lost out the rest of the year. Unfortunately, they, you know, because the Big 12 does not have any kind of tournament to end the volleyball season, that was pretty much it. The season ended on senior day with a 3-2 loss to Oklahoma. That all but eliminated, or I'm pretty sure that was kind of the final nail in the coffin that kept them from making the NCAA tournament this year. So while they had a great year last year, it was a little bit disappointing this year, but when you're breaking in so many new players, you know, it's that's going to happen from time to time. So again, we're very much looking forward to them being able to build on this next year. They are currently actually traveling abroad for a trip. They have a volleyball trip where they're kind of exploring different areas of Europe and playing a bunch of different games. So Coach Bouchard has them getting ready for next year. It should be really interesting to see what they can do. So to go ahead and I'm sorry, I did have one other track and field to talk about. There was just a little bit here just because the men's team – and I'm not seeing any for the women's team, but if they do have some people at the NCAA tournament, I apologize. Oh, actually, you know what? I take that back. The Kansas women's 4x400 relay was at the NCAA tournament. Unfortunately, they placed 20th, so they did not get to, it didn't work out for them the way that we kind of really wanted it to. But let's see. So the NCAA outdoor championships, we have Bryce Hopple, who is running in the 800 meters. We have Gleb Dudarev, who is in the men's hammer throw, and then Zach Bradford in the men's pole vault. I'm not actually seeing the results here, but it looks like Bryce Hoppel won his semifinals heat. Gleb Dudarov finished second in the men's hammer throw, and then Zach Bradford was sixth in the men's pole vault. So pretty good results for them overall. So, all right, to go ahead and wrap it up, just a brief recap of the NCAA basketball season. I think you guys have been following us well enough to know kind of what's been going on. But big stories that come out of the team this year, obviously, I think is the Silvio De Sousa saga has kind of been a big thing all year long with him not being able to play and then finally getting cleared in the last couple weeks here to be able to come back next year. He was originally suspended for 2 years due to the whole thing with his guardians, allegedly. But he will be back next year, which should be a great opportunity for us. And then Udoka Asabuke got injured early in the year, is back, obviously, for next year. He surprised everybody by foregoing the entire draft process. DJ Clawson had a really good year in his 1 year here after transferring from Memphis, but he has declared for the NBA draft and has not coming back. Devon Dotson had a breakout freshman season and is coming back after waiting until the very end of the deadline to decide whether to come back or not. Quentin Grimes had a very uneven year. Way out at the gate, looked like he was going to go ahead and kind of light the world up, and then fell off completely. He ended up declaring for the draft, came back, and weirdly pulled out of the draft, but decided to go ahead and transfer. So that's a situation I've never actually seen before. It was a little weird. We've talked about it before. There's a lot of recruiting issues, and Kansas is still trying to look for the last couple of guys to kind of fill out their recruiting class, but. So that's it for our recap of the different teams that we have here at Kansas. In terms of what we have here on the podcast for you coming up, we do have a summer series. It's actually getting ready to start. The first episode of our summer series will actually be coming out on Sunday. It'll be a preview of the Baylor matchup. We're going to follow. Mike is going to be doing a preview of each of the individual games that we have going in reverse order for the football team next year. And I'm going to follow along by kind of doing an overall year preview for each of those individual teams and kind of publishing that the day after Mike's previews of the individual games are coming up. So that's definitely something to look forward to. We have a lot of football coverage coming up. There's a lot of excitement around the program now with Les Miles. And so there's, I think, a lot more excitement than when we did the same series last year. So definitely stay tuned to that. We will be bringing you a bunch of new additional stuff here on the podcast channel. We have a new show that we're looking at kicking off. We're still putting the final touches on it. We might be previewing that particular thing coming up here real soon. So definitely look forward to that. We have some new writers on staff, some old writers returning back onto staff. So we have a lot of really, really great stuff coming for you guys over on Rock Chalk Talk. So we will go ahead and leave it there for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you haven't already, please do find us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast. All you need to do is search for Rock Chalk Talk and subscribe there. If you can subscribe, nice comments, 5-star rating, all that fun stuff. It really does help to get the podcast out there, get more people listening, so we can bring you guys even more great content. So, but we will go ahead and leave it there. Once again, thank you guys for a great season covering Kansas sports, and I look forward to doing all of this again next year, and hopefully we'll have much, much better updates to do at the end of the year next year. So for the final time this season, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.